Big Show Friday rolls on here in the final half hour. We check in with Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star. He's the beat writer for Indiana University basketball. You had anything to do here the last month or so? Any busy news, notes, or anything going on there?
Not much.
You are earning the paycheck, and that's good, and good news for Hoosier fans as well. Obviously, the addition of Romeo Langford, the pomp and circumstance that went on with his April 30th announcement, picking Indiana over Vanderbilt and the University of Kansas. Not tremendously surprising for those who are following the story, but I think a lot of people were surprised to a degree when a Washington Post article came out. I want to say, was that Wednesday morning?
This week? Oh, it would have been, was it Tuesday?
Tuesday or Wednesday?
All the days blend together for me right now. I think it was Tuesday morning.
Sometimes, and they do blend together.
No, it was Wednesday. It was Wednesday.
Well, you have a brand new baby, so you don't even know what day it is, and I understand. I've been there. been there and done that. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And if that doesn't change your life, having Romeo Langford on the radar just might as well. So it's been a busy time, and the Washington Post article, which I posted at our Facebook page, WGCL Radio, and then I posted your column dissecting what we've quote-unquote learned. Just to fill people in who haven't been around it, tell me why this column was written and talk about how Indiana is or isn't involved in it.
Well, so the story itself, the background of the Washington Post story is essentially that I shouldn't say even alleging, because this is something that everyone kind of acknowledges. Adidas agreed to directly sponsor an AAU team run basically by Romeo's father and inner circle. You know, I think that there were different people that were kind of appointed at different levels of the organization, but my understanding has always been Tim Langford was the coach of Romeo's team. And that Rick Pitino essentially alleging that Adidas did this to keep Romeo Langford brand loyal to Adidas. Langford had played with Adidas programs all coming up, but, you know, as you get to 16, 17 years old, that's when the competition for that brand loyalty gets pretty fierce. I think Rick Pitino was also sort of suggesting that Adidas was doing that to try and hope that it could steer Romeo Langford to an Adidas brand school, like an Adidas, you know, branded college program. In that story, it's important, again, I use the word allege again there, and it's just kind of, it's habit more than anything else, but it's not really anything anybody's alleging, because it's all stuff that, generally speaking, everybody kind of knew about, or at very least what everyone didn't know about, everyone kind of acknowledges is true. And I've always been more than a little bit skeptical of the idea that just because a player goes to this school or that school, that's going to guarantee a shoe affiliation, you know, beyond college, especially when you consider Romeo Langford's the kind of talent that may only spend 1 year playing college basketball. But essentially, you know, this raised a lot of questions about is this legal, which everything that we know right now, it is. Is this legal according to NCAA bylaws? If you look at recent past cases, there's a little bit of mixed precedent, but the most recent cases that the NCAA has dealt with in this regard, it seems like it does not run afoul of NCAA bylaws. There was nothing in the Washington Post story, and my understanding from kind of sniffing around as best I can is there's nothing right now at IU that makes anybody at IU feel like their exposure or Romeo Langford's, you know, eligibility or anything like that would be in danger. And so it kind of just becomes one of those sort of sausage making stories where, you know, if you see college athletics in a certain way, if you see a purity to it, then you're probably going to be uncomfortable with this. If you feel like college athletes, and more broadly, the idea of amateurism, particularly in football and men's basketball, is kind of creating an unfair earning environment for elite level athletes who kind of have to give their pound of flesh over to, you know, this million, if not billion dollar system before they can go on and make money off their skills. then you probably look at this and say, well, this is the free market. This is what I've been talking about around the water cooler all along. So it, you can find it unsavory, and I would understand that. But as far as we know right now, and this was kind of the big thrust of what I wrote, is just none of this is illegal. And you and I can have a long debate about whether or not it's even amoral or suspect, or whether it really is just capitalism at work in a way that is completely above board.
Zach Osterman's our guest, at Zach Osterman on Twitter, from the Indianapolis Star, beat writer for Indiana University basketball. Couple things I want to just ask you about. This stuff didn't start last week, last year, or 2 years ago. It's been going on since the days of Sonny Vaccaro. This has been a generational thing, correct?
Yes. I mean, it, and again, this is not, I mean, Marvin Bagley, I'd have to dig up the story for all the details, but there was Nike did something very similar with Marvin Bagley.
You put that in your article, right?
The other question I ask people who, you know, kind of have come to me and said, you know, this is weird or whatever, is, did you not think somebody was getting the money from AAU programs anyway? You know what I mean? Did you not think that all AAU programs were just like zero net profit, basically charity? Somebody's always getting this money.
Right. You listed why: travel expenses, tournament fees, shoes, uniform, all that stuff that goes along, meals. Someone has to pay for that, and that's kind of how they get to all these places.
Well, and the Washington Post story made note of the fact that, you know, according to that very often AAU programs will clear a decent sum of money on top of all those expenses. Also made note of the fact that nothing appears to have changed in the spending habits of Romeo Langford's family or anyone in his inner circle, his trainer, anyone like that. So it does not seem like anyone around Romeo Langford or his family came into a ton of money and just started buying, you know, sprawling estates.
Well, let me ask you a dumb question. If they did, what's the difference? If it's legal, illegal, or if it's legal, it's legal, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, that's one of the big things that people need to understand. And I've seen people kind of compare it to the agent scandal that's obviously kind of rocking through college basketball right now, and compare it essentially to what some of these Adidas executives are accused of doing, which is essentially hiding money so that they can then, off the books and under the table, funnel it to prospects or the families in exchange for, obviously, commitments.
This is different.
This is different because nobody, as far as we know, nobody's hiding any money. This was all above board. Adidas, as far as we know, nobody said here's X amount on the table and X amount that you know the IRS will never know about.
Right.
Nobody's hiding the money, and that's a big part of what makes this all legal. Is it's a business transaction, and you can say, well, it makes me uneasy. It doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't smell right. Oh, that's fine, but that doesn't change the fact that there's nothing wrong with this. And to your point, look, this is, you know, it's that old line, two things you never want to let people know how you make them, you know, laws and sausages.
Right. It's uncomfortable.
It might make you uncomfortable if you have a certain disposition, but this is nothing new. This is not something that the Langfords invented, and it's not something that, as of right now,
Or I think even more important, it's not a loophole that's been exposed, and we're going to be the test case on this. That's not the case either.
Right. No, that's true too. I mean, again, there's the post story, which is actually really good. And if you haven't read it, I would highly recommend reading it. It's very measured and balanced, and there's a lot of places where it could probably play for drama, and it doesn't. It just sort of spits things straight down the middle and leaves you with a little bit of a Rick Pitino versus Adidas.
Well, yeah, let me ask you about that. Why all of a sudden are we listening to Rick Pitino as gospel? Why? How does that come?
I mean, I know he's got a point of view. I'm not sitting in on reporter meetings in the Washington Post or anything.
That's why your perspective.
I understand why you're asking. Rick Pitino, at the same time, is a man with a lot of information and a newsworthy story to tell. And I think if you're looking at a situation like this right now, you know, there's, again, it's sort of one of those where I think part of the problem with people who find this particular story unsavory is that they want to live in a world where there's good guys and bad guys, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe this is not a world of heroes and villains. It's just a world of people that are moving through and around each other. And
but it's tremendous. Look, yes, it's tremendous.
There clearly is some conflict right now between Rick Pitino and Adidas. And I think it would be really unfortunate if that somehow jammed up Romeo Langford, that basically Pitino or Adidas were able to make him some kind of crossfire casualty in all this.
Well, I mean, Rick Pitino doesn't know what's going on in his dorms on his basketball team with his recruits. He doesn't know. He doesn't have a clue, but he knows everything that's happening with Adidas and where their money goes to AAU teams. Okay, Rick,
I think that's a fair criticism. A coach who
doesn't know anything in his program that's happening that's sleazy.
Pleaded ignorance on multiple major, allegations surrounding his program is doing the exact opposite in a situation like this. I think that's a fair criticism, and yet at the same time, I also don't know that Rick Pitino is quote unquote the villain and that there are heroes. I just think there are. I think this is just something that has been happening in different ways in college basketball a lot longer than some folks probably want to admit. And look, if there is another shoe out there left to drop, if there is more yet that we don't know, this story could change. That's the other
thing
I would emphasize. This story could absolutely change. I'm not saying Romeo Langford did nothing wrong, his family did nothing wrong, Indiana did nothing wrong, and that's the end of it forever. The FBI, the one thing that I wrote when the whole FBI thing at large exploded was basically, we don't know where any of this is going because this is so new and unprecedented. And this, with Romeo Langford, is not particularly unprecedented, but I would maintain the same basic concept, which is just to say, we don't know where this is. We can't guarantee that we know where this is going. There could be something else out there that nobody has uncovered yet or whatever. There may be another shoe left to drop. But everything we know right now today says that what the Langfords did was not illegal. It did not run afoul of NCAA bylaws, at least according to recent precedent the NCAA has set. And that's important because if the NCAA chooses to review this case, we've seen plenty of times the NCAA crossed its own mind up.
Change the rules in the middle of the game, right?
Recent precedent the NCAA has set, there's nothing in this that runs afoul of the NCAA bylaws. There's no suggestion Indiana did anything illegal or even unsavory. And so this really just kind of comes down to whether or not you're comfortable with the Langfords getting this. And if you're not, that's fine. But I think this is almost exactly what I wrote in that story Tuesday or Wednesday or wherever. You wouldn't have to walk a long mile to find someone who finds it equally unsavory that there are prep athletes who are considered elite at their age in their sport who are not allowed to make any money, not allowed to profit at all off of their talent until they have basically paid this sort of tithe to college athletics so that they can move on to the NBA or the NFL or whatever. And then we could bring up another layer, which is that, there are athletes in some sports that are allowed to do that. There are differences in the Olympic model. There are differences in the way different sports are handled in terms of, sponsorships and things like that. And then what happens is you and I just wind up in the same argument that we've been in around college athletics for the last 20 years. And certainly since last fall when the FBI investigation exploded.
I'm going to keep you on speed dial for this. I appreciate your time this morning. We could do two more hours, but we're up against it. Thanks, man. Tell Jackson hello. Welcome to Planet Earth, and we hope it's maybe a little bit different when he's in his
20s. I'll do it. I think he's having breakfast right now.
Well, that's good. You need some, too. That's big big energy, big story. At Zach Osterman, the Indy Star. You can find it at our Facebook page, WGCL Radio. Yeah, we'll be in touch.
Yeah, thanks for having me as always. Bye.
Thanks, buddy. Zach Osterman from the Indianapolis Star.